Welcome to a deep dive into sourcing from China.
Sure.
We're going to unpack your stack of articles and guides on this. Let's be honest, sometimes overwhelming market.
Yeah, China's manufacturing landscape is huge and it's constantly changing.
And you want to be prepared, right?
Absolutely.
So we'll break it all down from busting those too good to be true myths to giving you the confidence to navigate, you know, contracts and quality control like a pro. Let's jump right in.
Okay.
One thing that pops up in these sources is that idea of fast, cheap, high quality, and spoiler alert, you can't get all three at once.
It's the age-old triangle, like trying to juggle chainsaws while riding a unicycle.
Okay, that's a visual.
You says gotta give.
And it perfectly illustrates the point. One source said, and I quote, "Be extremely cautious if you encounter a deal that seems too good to be true, as the supplier may be trying to entice you with a disingenuous quote or find ways to cut corners in the production process."
Mm.
That quote really stuck with me because I've been there. Found what I thought was an amazing deal on custom phone cases, but they arrived looking like they were printed with a potato stamp.
Oh, no.
It was rough.
It's a common pitfall, though, especially when you're just starting out. You see a price that seems unbelievably low, and you get swept up in the excitement.
Right.
But you get what you pay for, right?
Hard lesson learned. Okay, so instead of chasing unicorns, let's talk strategy.
Okay.
These sources outline different approaches to sourcing from China, each with its own pros and cons. You can go directly to factories, work with trading companies, or team up with specialized sourcing companies.
Mm.
It's like assembling your A-team for this venture.
I like that analogy. Going direct to factories can potentially save you money, but it requires a high level of involvement and expertise. It's almost like embarking on a solo trek through, you know, unfamiliar territory. You might stumble upon hidden gems, but you also risk getting lost along the way.
Right. Whereas trading companies are like tour operators, they simplify logistics, but at an additional cost, right? They'll handle the basics, but you might not get that same level of personalized attention.
Now, if you're looking for a full-service expedition, sourcing companies are the way to go. They act as your boots on the ground in China, handling everything from supplier vetting and quality control to logistics and even some aspects of dispute resolution. Think of them as your seasoned guides, ensuring a smoother, albeit pricier, journey.
And this is where it gets interesting. One source, a guide to sourcing from China, my NZTE, really highlighted how valuable a sourcing company can be, especially for someone new to the game or dealing with a particularly complex product. They become your trusted partner in a market that can feel like a different world.
Absolutely. And that peace of mind can be worth its weight in gold, especially when you consider the potential risks. Because let's face it, not every supplier in China operates with the highest ethical standards.
Which is why due diligence is so important.
Yeah.
Several sources hammer this point home.
Mm-hmm.
It's about thoroughly vetting potential suppliers, going beyond the glossy website and asking the tough questions.
Don't just take their word for it. Demand proof.
Oh, yeah.
Ask for registration documents, certifications, even consider a factory visit, either in person or virtually these days.
Smart.
And remember that anecdote from the source material about suppliers using Photoshopped images
or
falsely claiming to have worked with big name brands.
Wait, are we talking about the same story where a supplier tried to pass off a picture of a factory that turned out to be a stock photo of a completely different facility?
Exactly.
That's like next level.
It highlights the importance of a healthy dose of skepticism. If something feels off, it probably is.
Right.
Look for inconsistencies, verify their claims, and don't be afraid to walk away if something doesn't feel right.
And for the love of all things efficient, get everything in writing. Which brings us to the often dreaded, always important realm of contracts.
Here's where having a good legal expert on your side is invaluable. Preferably one specializing in Chinese business law. They can really help you navigate the nuances of the Chinese legal system and ensure your contract is airtight.
Because a standard contract just won't cut it in the Chinese market.
It's like trying to order a pizza in Mandarin when you only know how to say hello.
Right.
You need someone who speaks the language, literally and figuratively.
So true.
The source even provided a sample supply contract for China with both English and Chinese versions. And one crucial detail it highlighted was the importance of specifying what are called Incoterms.
Okay.
Which essentially outline who's responsible for what costs and risks during each stage of the shipping process.
Makes sense.
Get those wrong, and you could end up with unexpected costs, delays.
Or worse, a shipment stuck in customs limbo.
Exactly.
Now, while we're on the topic of legal protection, let's talk about safeguarding your intellectual property.
Yes.
This is where things can get especially tricky in the Chinese market.
Absolutely. One source described it as navigating a jungle.
Oh.
You need the right gear, a good map, and a healthy awareness of the potential dangers lurking around every corner.
I like that. What would you say are, like, the most valuable tools in this jungle?
Your most valuable tools: trademarks, patents, and carefully crafted agreements.
Okay.
Specifically, what are called NNN agreements: non-disclosure, non-compete, and non-circumvention.
Those sound intimidating.
They might sound intimidating, but they're crucial for protecting your unique products and innovations. Think about it. Remember that cautionary tale from the source material?
Mm.
A company poured its heart and soul into developing this new product, only to have a Chinese manufacturer steal their IP and start producing it themselves.
Oh, no.
Because they didn't take adequate protection measures.
Talk about adding insult to injury.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why having those legally sound agreements in place is non-negotiable.
It's not just about preventing outright theft, though, is it? It's also about, like, safeguarding your brand, your designs, making sure you keep control over how your product is manufactured and marketed.
Exactly. That's a crucial factor to consider when entering any market, especially one as dynamic as China's.
Welcome back to our deep dive into sourcing from China. We've tackled the A-team of sourcing models, armored ourselves with contracts and IP protection.
Right.
Now let's shift gears to the logistics of actually getting your products from the factory floor to your eager customers.
And it's not as simple as, you know, slapping on a shipping label and hoping for the best. Choosing the right method is crucial. And it's about finding that sweet spot between speed, cost, and what best suits your product and your timeline.
Right, like planning a road trip, right.
Exactly.
You wouldn't take a sports car on a cross-country move with all your furniture.
Right.
Just like you wouldn't ship a small, high-value item via the slowest sea route.
Exactly. So let's break down the options, starting with the, I guess you could say, the workhorse of international trade, sea freight.
Okay.
It's the most cost-effective, but it's also the slowest.
Like a giant container ship steadily making its way across the ocean.
Precisely. One source, a guide to sourcing from China, MyNZTE, they actually break down the two main types of sea freight. You have FCL, which stands for full container load.
Okay.
Which, makes sense if you have a large order that can fill an entire container.
So, like, if you're bringing in a whole line of patio furniture, you would want that container all to yourself.
Exactly. But for smaller businesses or those with smaller orders, there's LCL, or less than container load, where you're essentially sharing that container space with other shipments. It can be more cost effective, but it usually means, you know, adding to that transit time.
Shared ride versus solo trip, right?
Right.
Both will get you there. It just depends on your budget and how much time you have. Now, on the complete opposite end of the speed spectrum is air courier. This is like your express delivery service. Perfect for smaller, high value, or time sensitive items.
Yeah, your DHL, FedEx, and UPS of the world.
Exactly.
Fast and reliable, but that comes at a premium.
It's like that last minute plane ticket you have to buy because you forgot your niece's birthday was this weekend.
Oh no.
It'll get you there, but your wallet will feel it.
Yeah. And then you have that, that middle ground, which is air freight.
Okay.
Faster than sea freight, but not as lightning fast as a dedicated courier.
A good balance if you need something quicker than a container ship.
Yeah.
But you're not in a desperate rush.
Exactly. And for larger, time-sensitive shipments, it can be significantly cheaper than air courier.
Yeah.
However, as your source mentioned, with air freight, you're typically responsible for additional costs, like customs brokerage.
Right.
And the transport from the airport to, you know, your warehouse.
So it's essential to factor those into your calculations.
Absolutely.
Now, we've covered contracts,
yeah,
quality control, even getting your product shipped. But let's address the elephant in the room. What happens when things go wrong?
Right. Disputes.
Because they happen.
They do happen.
It's just part of doing business, especially internationally.
It's a part of doing business internationally. And as one source bluntly put it, before you make a payment, consider how you will get your money back if there's a dispute over product quality or delivery.
Oof, that's a sobering thought.
Yeah.
But a necessary one. We don't want to be caught off guard.
Exactly. And that's why, as your sources emphasize, having that well-structured contract and really meticulous documentation is crucial.
Like building a fortress around your business transactions.
Exactly. But even with the sturdiest fortresses, sometimes negotiations are necessary. And direct negotiation is often, you know, the first and best course of action. But if that fails, consider involving a neutral third party, especially someone familiar with Chinese business culture and legal practices.
Because what might be considered a standard negotiation tactic in one culture might be completely off-putting in another, right?
Absolutely. And A Guide to Sourcing from China, my NZTE, made a really interesting point about this. They said that a strongly worded legal letter might feel tempting, but it could actually backfire in the Chinese business context.
It's interesting.
Potentially even damaging the relationship.
Why?
They actually recommend involving a neutral third party, like a lawyer specializing in Chinese law, to encourage cooperation and find a solution.
So it's about understanding those cultural nuances and knowing when to bring in reinforcements. Now, before we jump into the final part of our deep dive, there's something that's been woven throughout these sources that I think we need to address. The changing landscape of Chinese manufacturing.
Right. Things are moving quickly. We've touched on rising wages, trade tensions, and the Made in China 2025 initiative.
Right.
All of these factors kind of signal a shift, a transformation.
Welcome back to the final leg of our deep dive into sourcing from China. We've covered so much, from assembling your sourcing A-team to navigating contracts, quality control, even those sometimes inevitable disputes.
Right.
Now let's talk about the future of sourcing from China.
Okay.
Because things rarely stay the same.
Things are definitely moving quickly. As your sources highlight, you know, rising wages, trade tensions, and China's own push for technological advancement, they're all changing the game for importers.
It's like watching a caterpillar transform into a butterfly, you know?
Right.
Fascinating to observe, but maybe not what you expected when you first brought that little critter home.
It's a fitting analogy.
Yeah.
The China of today is different from even a few years ago. While it still offers, you know, immense manufacturing power and cost advantages, those advantages might not be as pronounced in the coming years, especially as wages continue to rise and the country focuses more on these higher value industries.
One of the sources, I think, is everything you need to know about manufacturing in China, specifically mentioned the Made in China 2025 initiative.
Right.
Which, correct me if I'm wrong, but that aims to kind of transform China from a manufacturing giant to a global innovation leader.
Right. Exactly. This initiative signals a real shift in priorities. And while potentially really beneficial for China in the long run, it could mean higher production costs, you know, increased competition for more specialized manufacturing.
So what does this all mean for someone who is looking to source from China today? Should they abandon ship and find a new supplier, you know, somewhere else?
Not necessarily. You know, China will likely remain a pretty dominant force in manufacturing for quite some time, but it does highlight the need for a more, I think, strategic long-term view.
Right.
It's not just about chasing the lowest price anymore. It's about factoring in those potential risks, diversifying your sourcing strategy, even exploring alternative manufacturing hubs that are, you know, gaining traction.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly. One source, A Guide to Sourcing from China, my NZTE, they touched upon this, encouraging businesses to identify and use multiple sources of goods.
Mm.
And I think that's smart. This not only acts as a buffer, you know, against price fluctuations or potential quality issues, but it also allows you to kind of adapt more quickly to these changes that we're seeing in the global market.
So instead of viewing these changes in China with like fear and uncertainty, maybe we should see them as an opportunity to explore new options and create a more resilient, dynamic sourcing strategy.
Absolutely. The world of manufacturing is vast and it's becoming increasingly interconnected. There are, you know, viable alternatives emerging all the time from Southeast Asia to Latin America, even parts of Africa.
It's exciting to think about the possibilities. Well, on that note of exploration and adaptation, we've come to the end of our deep dive into sourcing from China. We covered a lot of ground, explored the intricacies, and hopefully gave you the knowledge and confidence to navigate this exciting and always evolving market.
Remember, successful sourcing, it's not just about finding that lowest price. It's about building strong, reliable partnerships, maintaining those high quality standards, and just, you know, staying informed and adaptable in an ever-changing global landscape.
And to our listeners, as you embark on your own sourcing journey, stay curious, keep asking questions, and never, ever underestimate the value of expert advice. Happy sourcing, and until next time, keep diving deep.